Glory to God. So turn with me to Joshua 3. We've been talking about breakthrough. This is another moment of breakthrough. And so I just want to review for real quick a little bit of what we talked about last week. Because in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says the unfolding of the word brings light. The unfolding of the word, in other words, as you begin to understand and the word begins to take shape and take a new form in your heart, then there's a light that comes with it, a light that is revealed. The more the word that you understand, the more the word that you incorporate into your life, the greater the light that's released into your life. And so that's important because that when we see that, we also see that that releases the one, it releases the God of Israel who wants to come forth on your behalf. Because it says in Isaiah 10:17 that he is the light of Israel, and the light of Israel is a fire, and the Holy One is a flame. And so when we begin to see the light of Israel is a fire, and the Holy One is the flame, we know from what we talked about last week that he came on behalf of Israel and basically just wiped out 180,000 of the enemy in one night. And one angel just... Don't mess with the Reaper Angel. Because what we have learned is that in Matthew, I believe it is, the Reaper Angel comes to first take out the dross, to take out the tares. And so I always believed that the Reaper Angel would come to gather us up. But the reality is his job is first to come and remove the tares. He removes the tares from the wheat. He removes the tares from the wheat, and as he does so, then he begins to create the place for the proper harvest. Hallelujah. Okay. So anyway, that was a little bit of what we talked about last week. And we talked about living from the place of your victory instead of living from the place of your pain. Because see, when we're living from our pain, then there's also all these things that come with it. There comes jealousy and defensiveness and protectiveness and anger and bitterness and all that yuck just comes flowing out of our pain. And then when we try to live from that place, it creates angst between us and another. It creates angst between us and God. So what we're really looking and what we're walking toward is to live out the victory that God already gave us. Because see, all those things didn't originate in, all those ugly emotions didn't originate with God. He gave you your emotions, but it wasn't those. He gave you the good ones. He gave you the ones that bring life. Because he is life. He can't give you something that doesn't bring life. Hallelujah. Okay, so that was a little bit of that review. And in Joshua 3, and they're about here, they're camped, they're about to cross over the Jordan. And we have Joshua is now taking command. He's stepping into his new responsibilities. I'm sure he's probably feeling a little bit anxious because now he has these millions of people to all of a sudden it's his responsibility to lead. And it came about, verse 2, it came about after the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And go after it. See, the word, the presence of God requires that you go after it. Your salvation is free, but the presence of God is something that requires that you pursue it and you be intentional about your pursuit. When you're intentional about your pursuit, now he's going to put it within your reach. But you have to go after it. He's talking to them, he's telling them right here, it's time to go after it. The ark is going to move, and when it moves, I want you to follow along. Move with it. Go after it. Be intentional. See, when we're ascending, we're being intentional to go after the presence of God. When you're praying, you're being intentional to go after the presence of God. When you're keeping the word, you're being intentional to go after the presence of God. It's time for us to recognize that everything that we're doing here is an act of intention towards our Father. And because we're being intentional, He's going to be responsive. He's always attracted. He's attracted to a hungry heart. He's attracted to a heart that will be broken. He's attracted to a heart that will be submitted to Him. He's attracted to a heart that will seek Him. And when we see that, now we can recognize, you know, I want to encourage you just, and I thank you for everyone who's in the sanctuary, and I thank you for everyone who's online, but I want to encourage you, you have a part in this building. You have a part in this place. Because see, when you're intentional and you're being here, now that God can use that, because see, it only takes one hungry heart to ignite a fire. And then, you know, so you have a part to play in this body. You may say, well, I don't get up to preach. I don't get to do this and I don't do that. But you have a hungry heart. And when you have a hungry heart, that heart can ignite a fire. It only takes one of us to ignite a fire. And then imagine what it begins to look like when all of us are ignited. All of us are excited. All of us are anticipating. All of us are participating. When we're coming as a group, the potential multiplication is unlimited. So let's be intentional about our seeking with Him. Let's be intentional about our drawing near with Him. Let's be intentional about giving Him the opportunity to touch us. The last three services, there's been just a cleansing that happens in the atmosphere. It started on Sunday, and it was interesting because Pastor had a similar experience when he was in this prayer closet. And when he got here, I was talking about it being, it happened already here in the atmosphere. But on Sunday, just during the early service worship, there was a cleansing that happened through the atmosphere. There was a potential for being open and available. Being vulnerable. You know, you don't always feel safe to be vulnerable. But there was just a safety in the atmosphere that caused you to be able to be vulnerable. And when you were vulnerable, then He was able to just come and cleanse and come and cleanse and come and cleanse. I've wept the cleansing tears the last three services because He was there, because I was able just to be vulnerable with Him. And as He was touching things. Some of those things hadn't been touched in a while. And I'm not talking about real ugly things. I'm talking about little things. The things that are the disturbers of your peace. The things that are the disturbers of your relationship with God. Because they're little things that get in the way. The little fox that spoils the vine. Sometimes it's just a concern. Sometimes it's just something that happened to you. Sometimes you're trying to figure out where your pants are. I talked about that last week. Because I was up here on Tuesday, I was up here last week, a week ago, on Tuesday, and I was trying to figure out where I had put my suit pants. And so I'm like, I worship you, God, I worship you. Where are those pants? I know I left them in the closet. I know I had them. Where did they go? How can I not find them? Lord, I worship you. I honor you. But you see how that little thing, that little fox spoils the vine. So when we understand that, now we can begin to understand that God has a purpose and a plan. And when I began to look at that situation, I remembered that recently I've been looking at John 8 and 12, and that John 8 and 12 says He will not leave us in darkness. And so, Lord, I just said, Lord, You said I would not be in darkness. And I set the whole thing on the shelf with that one statement. And I was able to go back and worship Him from my whole heart. And something shifted in me. And when it shifted in me, I was able to just release and let go. Because I see he's not wanting us to be in darkness. And the upside of the story is when I got home, I walked into my closet, I reached up and I grabbed them. I said, that feels like cloth. And they were right there. I didn't even have to look. See, God, he cares about the things that you care about. But he also wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart to be in agreement and in order with him. He wants your heart to be on fire with him. He wants your heart to be consumed with him. Hallelujah. So go after it. Go after his presence. Go after the ark. Allow the ark to be something that causes you to dig deeper. That presence that causes you to dig in. You know, it doesn't always have to look pretty. It doesn't always have to look weepy. It doesn't always have to look like anything. If you just are searching for his heart, he's going to meet you there. Sometimes we figure that, you know, if I don't have a whole box of Kleenex broken open, why, then I'm not meeting with God. But I can tell you what, last night, you know, I've started just doing some twofers. So last night I went back in to pray and ultimately, you know, it wasn't one of those things that just exploded, but I met him because there was intention in my heart, because he's going to honor that which honors him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 4. However, there shall be between you and it, the ark, the presence, a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. What is he telling you? Is he telling you, don't get ahead of the presence? Do you know anybody who gets ahead of the presence? Have you ever gotten ahead of the presence? It's not an easy thing. Sometimes it can be a painful thing, right? If you get ahead of the presence, it can be a painful thing. But he's saying, the ark is going to go, and I want you to keep a 2,000 cubit distance for it, because see, number one, not only is it wrong to get ahead of the presence, but it's also a very practical thing. Have you ever been sitting in a traffic jam and all you can see is car after car after car after car? Every one of you live in Houston, you have been there, so I need to see every head shaking yes. And the deal is that, why is that? But it's because you're all so close up on one another that you can't see what's in the distance. Okay? So unless you're number one or number two, you're not seeing around to see what happened up here. Why am I sitting here for 30 minutes and going nowhere? But see, when the ark, by putting that space in between him and them, then that meant that everyone in the line could look past and see the ark up there, know where they were going. So every person had the opportunity to present themselves. Every person had the opportunity to focus in on where the ark and the presence was going. It just makes simple sense. And so it also precludes any foolish actions. Remember when somebody reached out and touched the ark later on? Uzzah touched the ark and he paid the price. God was making sure this couldn't happen in this situation. Amen? Hallelujah. Then Joshua said to the people, Then Joshua said to the people, Remember what's about to happen? We're about to go into the Jordan. We're about to cross over a raging river, a river that is a flood stage, a river that is open and overflowing its banks. So if it was normally a quarter mile wide, it's a half mile wide now, but it's raging in a way that's never ever happened before, or not, it happens every harvest time, but it's bigger than the moment that it's in. And so when he's talking to the people, he's saying, it's time to get ready. He said, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Number one, consecrating in that moment means that we have to set aside some things. There's a moment where we have to set aside. There's a moment where we're going to be moving with God, but now it used to be just one man. When he moved with God, when Moses came and he came to the Red Sea, one man's faith, one man's grace moved the entire Red Sea. But now God's requiring something different of Israel. He said, you've seen me. And you've seen me for 40 years acting on your behalf. You've seen me for 40 years guiding you and protecting you. You've seen me for 40 years doing miracles among you. And it's time for you, all of you, to stand up in faith. See, we're at a moment where it's no longer just one man's faith that's going to get us through. It's got to be a corporate effort. It's got to be a corporate thing now. It's going to be a thing where it's going to take a gathering of people, a gathering of hearts, a gathering of those who are in alignment and desire with Him. And as that gathering of the heart and alignment and desire with Him, then the parting comes. The parting of the waters happens out of the corporate witness that is happening. It's time for us to shift from the idea that church should be about one man and then start beginning to embrace that the church is supposed to be about many of us gathering together in the anointing. Many of us gathering together with a hunger for His presence and the willingness to step in and let God. I think that was, yes, thank you. That was necessary. But more than one must carry the presence now. See, if we all go after it together, if we all pursue it together, if we all move, anticipate together, there's a greater anointing that is released, and we all find the freedom that is initiated. Hallelujah. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. What you do today affects what's going to happen tomorrow. What you do today sets a stage for what can happen tomorrow. What you prepare yourself with today begins to prepare for tomorrow, begins to make tomorrow the ability to be able to have its proper day. What you do today is going to shift your who you are tomorrow. What you have put yourself in alignment with, in agreement with today, will begin to unveil who you can be tomorrow. The cleansing of the atmosphere. That cleansing has been happening. I believe God is working in the foundation. He's working in the foundation to prepare us for a new day. He's working in the foundation to prepare us for what's about to be poured out. He's working in the foundation to stir us with an anticipation for what tomorrow can bring. But we have to be able to allow that to happen. We have to be vulnerable with the Lord. We have to be vulnerable with Him and allow Him to move in our hearts. I'm not talking about gross sins. See, because these people here, they knew what was sin, what was not. They already had been charged with dealing with those things before they got to this point. They had the law. They had an understanding of what it required. They had that requirement on their life already. He's talking about the little things that spoil the vine. The little things. You know what consecration means? Literally, it means set aside for a sacred purpose. What I see it is a response to God's call and His grace. See, when I look at it like that, then it doesn't become consecration, doesn't become some legalistic thing that I have to do to achieve. Because guess what? You're already holy. You're holy because of what Jesus did for you. You're already holy. You won't be any holier tomorrow. I don't care how you feel. You won't be any holier or any less holier tomorrow than you are right now. But you're already holy. But see, we can make a choice as to how much we engage with God out of that holiness. This consecration is making a choice to be in agreement with God. To be in agreement with His goal, to be in agreement with His desire, to be in agreement with His will. When we set ourselves to put our will with His will, that's consecration. Thank you, Jesus. We're embracing His choice. Embracing His choice. When we embrace His choice, that's a consecration. When we embrace His choice, now He has the opportunity to perfect things in our life that were otherwise keeping us at a distance. Cleansing the atmosphere. Cleansing the atmosphere. Part of that is removing the obstacles to receiving. When we remove the obstacles in our heart. You know, I don't think there's anybody who has been in church for more than a few weeks who hasn't been hurt in some way by somebody at church. Guess what? Hurting people hurt people. And you don't come to church because you're perfect. You come to church because you were hurting initially. Hopefully you don't stay there. But you come to church initially because you were hurting and you needed some help. And so in that process, you're going to bump up against somebody and somebody bumps up against you. But you know what? Those little things don't have to add up to something to distract you from the presence. Whatever that is, what we say last week, let it go. Let it go. Okay, you guys are flowing tonight. So here's the thing is that, you know, we're not talking about willing sin. We're talking about sometimes things that are actually good. There was a day when the Lord came to me and He said, I want you to give me your ministry. Well, at that point in time, I didn't really have a ministry. I was here, but I didn't have a particular public speaking or ministry thing going on. So I just kind of said, what ministry? In that kind of smart aleck way that we can do sometimes with God. Don't do that. If you get the opportunity, don't do that. And so He basically just began to show me. It was just like, it wasn't a word then, it was just a series of images. And I began to understand what He wanted me to give Him was my involvement in ministry. And so I told him that, you know, I had one thing already lined up because I was going to Columbia. And I said, when I get back from Columbia, I'm done. I won't take anything else. I won't do anything else. I'll sit and behave myself until you tell me when I'm ready. 2 weeks after I get back from Columbia, the Lord releases me, and the same day, LaRue comes to me and says, would you take the Sunday service? But see, what he wanted out of me was me out of the ministry, where I was tying my worth, my value to the things that I did. He wanted that released and cut off of me. Why? Because that was hindering me from being able to actually engage what he wanted to engage. So it was a good thing. But if he asked for it, let it go. If it's a good thing, it go. Let it go. See, we can do. We got a choir going. Jesus. Anything that's a distraction from his best, that's what he's looking for. Let it go. Reading the word, for example. Reading the word's a good thing. I'm not talking. So my point is here with this is that you can read the word because you love him and you want to engage him. If you're reading the word for anything else, it's wrong. If you're reading the word because you're completing a task, if you're reading a word because you promised somebody that you were going to read the Bible in 1 year, if you're reading the word from a competition with somebody else so that you can show them up, if you're reading the word so you can win an argument with somebody, you're not reading, you're not gaining the thing that was most important, which was a relationship with him. The thing that was most important and most valuable was to fall in love with him. If you read it because you're in love with your God, the love with your Lord, now you're having it for the right reasons. If you're reading it just to prepare a message, you've missed the point. You're not going to get the round of revelation out of it that you're supposed to get. Because the revelation should first come from love. He's looking for us to be seeking him out of that heart of love, out of the heart that is totally given over to his love, out of a heart that is totally sees him as altogether lovely, altogether wonderful, and altogether perfect. When he's doing this, he's giving us the opportunity to receive him and meet him in a brand new way. If we are ascending the mountain and we ascend it for any other reason besides love, any other motive will leave us short of his best. Every other motive will leave you short of his best. If you're ascending the mountain to prove yourself more spiritual than somebody else, disqualified. My doggy is understanding. I found it's a lot quicker than saying no. And he actually responds more. There must be something about that sound because he just, the first time I said it, he was like, stopped in his tracks, looked at me. So if you're seeking an experience for the sake of the experience, if you're seeking an experience to prove that you're better than somebody else, you're missing the point. But if you're seeking the experience because you want to experience his love, if you're seeking the experience because you have love for him and he has, and you know that he has love for you, and you know that you're in this place of acceptance, and you're standing in the place of acceptance and the place of letting that love cover you, and letting that love begin to dictate how you see him and how you respond to him. Letting that love begin to change anything that was in your heart or in your thought that didn't line up with who he actually is. Because see, sometimes we can have legalistic viewpoints or responses to him, not because we intend to, but simply because we don't know better yet. But when you're reaching to him and you're reaching to him out of the heart of love, and you're reaching for the heart of love, he will always guide you and always protect you, always shadow you until you get there. He's your rear guard and your forward motion, all in one shot. He's looking to ignite this fire in you so that you can share it with another. Because if you put a match that's not lit up to another match that's not lit, what happens? You have two matches that aren't lit. But when one match is lit and it comes next to the next match, fire happens. Something happens. So he wants to make sure you're lit so you can light the next. Glory to God. We have a whole preaching section over here today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he's putting us into an alignment with his foundation, an alignment with his will, an alignment with his testimony. It's those things that are being released. And I believe that's what the special thing. Did you understand or know that it's Lent? These 40 days, we're in the 40 days of Lent. We have one person that does, you know. I know most of the charismatic circles, we don't keep track of those things. I just happened to discover it by accident. So from February 17th till April 1, we're in the 40 days of Lent, which is a time of reflection, a time of consecration. In other words, what we're moving in, this season that we're moving in right now, the consecration that God is doing, he's doing it by himself and all of his own course. It wasn't because we initiated by some man's custom. We initiated it simply because he's visiting us that way. Hallelujah. So what you do today preps you for tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Begin to prophesy to yourself what those results look like. Begin to prophesy to yourself what the things that you're wanting to see. Begin to release in your personal prayer time and when you come back, you ascend and you're on your way back. Begin to release and prophesy over your situation and over your station. Begin to prophesy over your church. Begin to prophesy and release the will of the Father into this earth. As his will isn't done in heaven, let it be done in this earth. Because when we begin to do so, now we can begin to release what God is and come into agreement with what God is accomplishing. When I had my stroke and I couldn't see properly, I told myself every morning, I told you guys frequently, God was going to fix this. Today I can tell you, God has fixed this. You have to just begin to prophesy it, begin to see it, begin to stand in it, begin to focus on it, and begin to release an expectation for it. That's how he wants to move on your behalf. And Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. In this moment, we have an opportunity to be intentional I'm asking you as intercessors now to begin being intentional about looking for the outflow of the Spirit to be released in this house. The outflow of the Spirit to be released for those who are struggling in their health. For the outflow of the Spirit being released to open blind eyes. For the outflow of the Spirit to release ears to deaf and make deaf hear and the lame walk. I'm looking for the Spirit and the signs to confirm the word that we have. We have a really mighty word. We need the signs that come alongside it to confirm it and commission it, and so that it gets released the way God was wanting it to be released. It's no longer just about what we can do, but it has to be about what He can do, because until it's about what He can do, we're not going to achieve what we're supposed to achieve. So it's time for us to be intentional in our approach to Him. Time for us to be intentional in our release from Him. Having an expectation. I want to be the first person somebody gets to see. I want to see what I've seen in the Spirit, arms going from nubs full hands. I want to see these things. I want to see bodies that were twisted up and sick with AIDS coming whole and well in a moment. Because what a greater testimony can we bring to that society, that part of society, than to love them enough to pray for them and release them from their bondage. See, it's a time for giving Him our ministry. It's a time for allowing Him to be the one who guides these things and chooses these things and decides these things. It's time for Him to be the one who is putting us into this alignment. Hallelujah. We serve a God that's altogether wonderful. Beautiful, majestic, holy, righteous. He's a Lord who's compassionate about you and compassionate about your neighbor. He's wanting to release good things on your behalf and on their behalf. He's trustworthy, unfailing, never wavering. There's a result from all this pursuit and this consecration. When they began to consecrate themselves and they began to follow the priest, indeed the river rolled back. And if we look at here in verse 15, those who carried the ark came to the Jordan. And the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. The Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest. You know what the significance of that is? What happens when there's a harvest? In the harvest season, you reap the fruit of the season. You reap the fruit of what that season has produced. They were stepping into a moment where they're going to reap the fruit of everything that they had been preparing for 40 years. This, everything that had been sown into them, now it was time for them to start reaping the fruit and receiving the houses that they didn't build, lands they didn't proclaim, and then all the rest of it. Wells they didn't dig. It was time to reap the fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to reap the fruit that God's given. I want to reap the fruit of the past seasons. You know, I think there's been some seasons in my life where I didn't come along and reap the fruit of what it was supposed to produce. Not because I intended to, but just simply because I didn't recognize it was time to reap the fruit. It's time to reap the fruit. when you step into the water and you step through that water, you step through that deliverance, you step through that alignment, it's time to reap the fruit that it brings. It's time to reap the fruit that God has planted there for you to receive on the other side of the obstacle. Hallelujah. And the waters which were flowing down from above stood up and rose in one heap at a great distance away at Adam. All the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. I think Adam, from where they say they crossed, Adam was like 20 miles. 20 miles of dry riverbed. They could go across. And we know when they got to the other side, they began to reap. Because they began to see, receive cities they didn't erect. They didn't build. Wells they didn't dig. Remember when he got to Jericho, he said, "See, I have given. I have given." It was already theirs. It had been theirs for 40 years. It was just waiting on them. It was waiting on them. It was waiting on them to finally grow up enough to go, "Well, you know what? I'm ready to step across that river. I'm ready to do it your way, God. I'm ready to let you speak into my life. Let's let him speak into our lives." Amen. Let's be the one that God can use to ignite the fire. Let's allow the fire that's in us to touch another. Let's allow the fire that's in us to come up and be a corporate environment and create a corporate environment, a corporate hunger. Because, see, you make a difference. Every one of us makes a difference. And if we'll make a difference together, mighty things can be accomplished. Light the fire.